There. When we got home, I said to Iris, "Boy, don't you feel tired when you get back?" And she says, "Yeah." I says, "But you know, just think, we can roll into a nice big comfy bed. The guests down there will be sleeping on the floor on them little mattresses, you know." And it brings it home to you. But anyway, there you go. Laurie, over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Claire, for remembering my glasses. Otherwise, I'd be doing this. There we go. Next Sunday, the 28th, our youth praise band will lead the music, and the message will be presented by Mr. Bob Hillock of Burden Bearers. The following Sunday, the 4th of September, worship will be led by the worship team, and the message will be presented by Sandra Helm. The Famine Relief Africa, those who wish to make a donation to famine relief in Somalia, Ethiopia, or Kenya may do so through their church offering envelope. Simply mark your additional offering Samaritan's Purse. The church leadership workshop is on Saturday, September 17th, and we need to know numbers for catering purposes. Ian has put up a sign-up sheet as well as sort of an itinerary of what topics will be covered that day in the foyer. So please have a look at that, and it sounds like a really exciting workshop, so we hope that lots of people will be interested in signing up. The church calendar planning meeting is on September 13th. That's a Wednesday at 7 p.m. And a big thank you to our church and community who have supported the Wild Pink Yonder so well. It's now sold out for the dinner and the dance, but I'm sure there's other activities, as we know, such as the parade, that we hope everyone comes out for. So thanks for that. And Carolyn has an announcement she would like to make. I'll just repeat it with the mic. Carolyn's looking for someone with a truck and maybe a couple strong bodies who could help her move her items here to Cremona in the next week or so. So if anyone's able to, if you could talk to her after church, that would be great.
My number is also in the church.
Okay, great. Thanks, Carolyn. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In St. Matthew chapter 16, we read these words. "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." We worship the Lord with our approach choruses, and I invite Kathy to come on up here and lead us in these choruses. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Let's stand and... we're going to start with "Come into His Presence." That's a good one to get started with.
Oh. Oh, I guess not. I guess you're playing.
Just give us the chords, Mom. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give Him praise. Your voice is raised, give glory and honor and power unto Him. Jesus, the name.
Again.
Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, voices raise, your voices raise. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names.
Ah, that was great. And our next one is number 113, in moments like these. We'll sing number 108, His Name is Wonderful.
Thank you, Cathy. Thank you. Good singing. Nice introduction to our worship. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, We give you thanks, Holy Father, that you have given to each of us this great privilege, this wonderful honor of being able to come into your house on this your day. And as we arrive in this holy place, Father, we are immediately surrounded by your grace and by your wonderful love. As we greet one another with smiles, with hugs, with handshakes, and your love just shines from the faces of our brothers and sisters in our Savior Jesus. And we thank you, Father. And so as we worship you this day, gracious Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak your message to each and every one of us. And we pray, gracious Father, also in this time of worship, that you will accept the praise as we seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name, the glorious name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray now, as our Savior Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 1, 8 through 10, 22 through to 2:10. Moses is born and protected by God. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 124. I will read the L parts, and you'll read the C, please. The Lord has not been on our side. Let Israel say, if the Lord has not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away.
Praise be to the Lord.
We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped.
Glory to the Lord, Creator of heaven and earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
We're doing communion now.
Sorry?
Communion now or special next
week? Yeah, it's not you yet, Blake.
No.
I'm looking forward to hearing you as well. Now we come to the Sacrament of Holy Communion. This is a great time in our worship together as we celebrate the Lord's love for us. And every single person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ is invited to participate in this great celebration. And so to lead us into our communion, we stand and we sing to the glory of God our communion hymn, 255 of the late, We Remember You.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this, thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Would the elders come and join me, please? You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort,
and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. Thank you. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. Thank you. Amen. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. And by the power of his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, your sins are forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. We remember the Lord Jesus.
We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, for this blessed communion, we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and that by your blood, that we may be made strong in your spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. And now we come to our special music. Blake Reed and family, and I think today we're going to have Blake and Ashley who are going to present special music for us. And I'm sure Blake will do his introduction of the piece that he's doing. Thank you.
Ashley and I are going to sing today is kind of a, when we were trying to figure out what music to play, Ash said, well, you should do one. It's one that I wrote a couple years ago, and it's called Hey Lord, It's Me, and it's kind of about, you know, when you travel down life's path, you kind of have a, you're back and forth back to the Lord, and that's kind of what this speaks to, that, you know, when you start feeling down, you come back to Jesus, and that's what this song's about.
Hey Lord, I'm down on my knees, 'cause I can't seem to find my own feet, and I'm so far from where I should be. And hey Lord, it's me.
World, it gets crazy these days. If you don't find the time just to pray, slowly you're losing your way. Hey Lord, it's me.
Yeah, forgive me my weakness. Standing alone, I thought I could make it all on my own, but the truth is I found out I can't. Hey Lord, it's me. And Jesus, I'm asking to just lead the way and to follow your footsteps to a much brighter day. I'm standing here calling your name. Hey Lord, it's me. No, I'm a sinner and I fall straight to darkness, 'cause the world takes it all. And then empty I stand there and call, hey Lord, it's me.
Hey Lord, I'm down on my knees, 'cause 'cause I can't seem to find my own feet, and I'm so far from where I should be. Hey Lord, it's me.
Yeah, forgive me my weakness for standing alone. I thought I could make it all on my own, but the truth is I found out I can't. Hey Lord, it's me. Jesus, I'm asking to just lead the way and to follow your footsteps to a much brighter day. I'm standing here calling your name. Hey Lord, it's me. Now I'm standing here calling your name. Hey Lord, it's me. Now I'm standing here calling your name. Hey Lord, it's me.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Ashley and Blake for that beautiful piece of music presented there. Hey Lord, it's me. That's great. And just should you not know, Blake and his band are providing the music at the dance tomorrow night. And if I get things right, I think you can come to the dance. The banquet is sold out, but you can come to the dance and just buy a donation, right? So if you missed out on the banquet, come to the dance. That's tomorrow. What time's the dance start? At 9, okay? I want you all home in your beds by 10, of course. The parade is 5:30. Following the parade at 6:30, 7, the banquet. Banquet's at 7, there's a silent auction, and then at 9 there's the dance, and that's the big pink weekend raising money to fight cancer. And what a great time our village is putting on this weekend, so everyone participate in that. Okay, your gift now for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received.
Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, gracious Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. Children are now leaving for their Sunday school. Whilst the children are leaving, I think you're aware that Iris and I are on holiday for the next 2 weeks. And a week from today, we will be visiting with the Radiant Life Community Church up in Campbell River. And I got a call from Art Van Hulst, the pastor of that church, during the week there. And he started off by saying, "Ian, don't you believe any rumours you hear about me?" I said, "Oh, come on, Art, what are you talking about here?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I had one of your families visit our church last week." And it was great. Dan and Laurie and Avery and Claire were up in that part of the world, and they went and they shared worship with the Campbell River, the Radiant Life Community Church, and Art was just absolutely delighted. They went there and they shared worship with them, and he was just so pleased. And he, you know, and as always, he sends his good wishes and his gracious thanks to this church, this congregation, for the support that we are able to give them in their work. And their church work is very basically it's kind of like a street ministry. They run a soup kitchen and they feed the street people, and they do great work. Laurie, do you want to say anything about your little trip up there? You want to give a little mention at all, or no?
Well,
put you on the spot. Excellent, excellent. I know right after the service, the room that they use as their church, well, their utility room, they use it for everything, they convert it to a dining room, and they feed, it's a soup kitchen. And did you have some soup? Are you good?
No, it's not actually very
But they, it's very touching. If you get the opportunity, if ever you are up at the top end of Vancouver Island and it's a Sunday, you go and share worship with them, and it's a very rewarding experience. You will enjoy it. So right now we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 277. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord.
By water and the word.
And so we come to our time of prayer. And just before we go into prayer, I have some wishes to pass on to you from some of the people for whom we pray. And the first one I want to mention is Joyce Doctor. Talked to Joyce during the week there, and unfortunately she's got pneumonia again. But she specifically asked me, she says, "Will you tell the congregation how much I love them, how much I miss them, and how much I appreciate all of the prayers that they say on my behalf?" And so Joyce Doctor, she passes on her grace and thanksgiving to each and every one of you who pray for her, and she appreciates that very much. Also, Irene Schultz. Iris and I were in seeing Irene, and she looks better than we have seen her look for a long time. She looked good. She looked well. She had her wits about her. She knew what was going on, and she has had some tough times with the medication that she's been on for pain, but she is doing well, and she asks to be remembered to everyone here as well. We also had a visit in the old hospital, and we went in to see Bob Tribe, you know, who comes with Muriel, Dinah Page's mum. And Bob Tribe, he was progressing very well. He's on his oxygen. He's had a problem with his breathing and his lungs. But he is now home, and he is progressing. And also thanks you for your prayers and passes on his good wishes. And also while we were in there, we had a visit with Dick Paternaud. And Dick's not doing well at all. He's mentally all over the place. And because of that, I wasn't really able to find out from him whether there was any other medical reason that he's in there or whether it's because of his mental condition, but he's struggling. He's having a tough time. So we pray that the Lord's will be done in the cases of all of our people for whom we pray, and I know you will continue to pray for them. So shall we now bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, you opened the mind of your servant Simon Peter, and you revealed to him the unique glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that we too may be enlightened by your Spirit, that we may effectively witness to that truth, that you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. Father, you have founded your church on the rock of truth, and you have given to your church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And as your church, Lord, we pray that you will inspire us, that we may become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Gracious Lord, you unite us as many members into one body in Christ. And we pray and we ask that you will empower us with the gifts of your Spirit, that we may witness that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus is the Creator of all things. We ask you, Father, to hear and accept our prayers of thanksgiving for our church, which strengthens and sustains us, for the rich fellowship, which clothes with your grace and presence, for our families and for our friends, which embrace us and love us, and for you, gracious Lord, for being our Father and for always being with us. We ask your blessing, gracious Lord, upon every home represented here today, and we ask that you be a real and living presence to those who are not able to be with us this day in body, but are certainly with us in spirit. We have in our hearts, Lord, those whom you have placed there, and you have led us to pray for them and to care for them. And here, gracious Father, here in the beauty of holiness, in silence we come before your throne of grace, and we whisper their names now, knowing, Lord, that you will hear our prayers and that in your time you will bless them. We pray in silence. Gracious Father, as we think and pray for those who are in need, on this special weekend in our village, Lord, we think about all those people who suffer from that dreadful disease of cancer. And we are thankful, Father, that things are progressing, that new treatments are being found which prolong the lives of those who suffer, and indeed, Lord, cure those some people sometimes. And this weekend, Lord, we pray that you will bless the efforts of everyone involved in raising money to bring more research, to bring more cure for this dreaded disease. Bless those who suffer, Lord. Bless those who seek the cure. And bless each of us, Lord, as we seek to play our part. And so, Father, as we offer our prayers for these, all of your children in need, we pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Gracious, mighty and loving Lord, your love fills this whole creation and prevails against the gates of death and against the gates of hell. Grant, Lord, that we may be your faithful ministers of your truth and generous servants of your compassion. We pray in the name which is above all names, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him prove diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully."
Thanks to Diane for those readings from the scriptures. There's a couple of people here this morning. They had to get up very early to get to church on time because they're here all the way from Egypt. Rod and Susan, good to see you too. It's always great when our church members, no matter where they are living or serving at any one time, it's nice that they come home. And it's welcome home. It's good to see you too. We stand again and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 484, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord Jesus and his disciples have gone into the area around Caesarea Philippi, and this is at the northern end of the land of Israel. And it's located about 30 miles east of Tyre and Sidon, where Jesus was confronted by the Canaanite woman that we talked about last week. This place was littered with the temples of the Syrian gods. And here also was the elaborate marble temple that had been erected by Herod the Great. Here also was the influence of the Greek gods. And also here, the worship of Caesar himself as a god. You might say that all of the religions of the known world were gathered together and on display in this area of Caesarea Philippi. And so it was with this scene as the background that Jesus chose to ask probably the most critical question of his ministry. You can just imagine Jesus standing here, looking around him at all of these temples, all of these shrines and altars. And then he turns to his disciples and he asks them, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" And that is when the disciples start sharing with Jesus what they have heard from the people who are following Jesus. Some say, "You are Elijah." Some say, "You are John the Baptist." Still others say, "Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And there is a significance and a meaning behind all of these suggestions that the people say that Jesus is. And so after listening to what they told him, Jesus turned to his disciples and to all who follow him, and he asked the poignant question, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And that is that same question that you and I have to answer at some stage of our lives. Some years ago, a seminary professor was teaching on this particular subject, "Who do you say that I am?" And this is how he described Jesus in answer to the question that Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Jesus is the proleptic, salvific, hidden appearance of the eschatological kingdom of God." Now, is everybody following this? Everybody with it? So I guess this is a seminary professor, and he was describing in his own words who Jesus is to him. This is who Jesus is to him. Now, if you are interested, this is what he's saying. The word proleptic is actually pronounced prolepsis. Prolepsis. And it means the representation of something in the future as if it had already happened. As if it had already happened. We use this phrase when we talk about Jesus ourselves. We say that he is and he was and evermore shall be. He is, he was, and evermore shall be. And that basically is what prolepsis means. So that's the first thing he was saying. And then he said salvific. Salvific. When I first looked at this word, I thought to myself, that's got to be something to do with salvation. And you're probably thinking the same. And if you are right. Salvific is a Latin word pertaining to the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we put it more simply, as we would say, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The professor's reference to the hidden appearance refers to God with us. We are told that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. God is hidden in Jesus. And Jesus himself said, "He who has seen the Son has seen the Father." Jesus, the Son, is God. And the eschatological kingdom of God. Eschatological means to do with end times. End times. And end times can be your own personal end times in this life, or it could mean the end times as in end of the world. Eschatological. End times. So when you put it all together, I guess this professor, in his own words, is saying that he believes that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The professor was saying, in his own highfalutin words, that same things that Simon Peter said when Jesus asked the question. And you remember Simon Peter spoke up on behalf of the rest of the disciples, and he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What is of vital importance to you and I, however, is how we answer Christ's question. How do you answer that question when Jesus asks it of you? Because your response to Christ's question of you will decide your ultimate and eternal life destination. Jesus' disciples said that people were saying that he was many different things. Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And even today, people speak about Jesus as being many things. Many people will say he is a good man, or he was a good man, a prophet, a holy man, a great teacher, a spiritual leader. But when we speak of him as being Son of God, as being divine, as being Emmanuel, as being God with us, people will line up, many people will line up to express their disagreement and their disapproval of what we are saying. But this book, the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God, answers Christ's question to us. For it states quite clearly in this book, the Word of God, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Messiah. And along with God the Father, he is the creator of the world and he is the master of the universe. He is the King of kings. He is the King of all ages. He is the Lord of lords, the Lord of all glory and light. And God's holy word teaches us that along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. That is what this holy book, the Word of God, teaches us. And what you must do, you must accept or reject this holy book. It is either the God's word of truth and grace, or it is a pack of lies. You must make your decision on what this book is. I personally, I love the quote from C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, where he refers to the many non-divine titles that people give to Jesus. And I'm going to quote you here. I quote C.S. Lewis. He says, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg," that's great, that, "or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something else. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and worship him as Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, nor did he intend to." Unquote. When Jesus asked his disciple who people thought that he was, the people generally thought that he was a prophet. That he was a prophet. Some say, "You are Elijah." Why Elijah, we might ask? Well, of course, Elijah was the highly revered and long since departed prophet who never did die. But he was whisked up into heaven by a fiery chariot. And it was Elijah who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses, speaking to Jesus. And in the very last passage of the Old Testament prophecy of Malachi, it is prophesied that Elijah would return before the coming of the Lord. "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." And the Jewish people firmly believed their scriptures. And Jesus confirmed their scriptures when he stated that John the Baptist was indeed the return of the prophet Elijah. Jesus said, "All the books of the prophets and the law of Moses told what was going to happen. And if you believe them, John is Elijah, the prophet you are waiting for." And others believed that Jesus was John the Baptist, who had recently been beheaded by King Herod. King Herod believed this. He believed that John the Baptist had come back to get him. In other words, King Herod, deep down, really believed that John the Baptist was John the Baptist and he was proclaiming the coming Messiah, the coming King. He believed it. That's why he got rid of him. He believed this. And because the king believed it, so did the people. And some are saying, you are Jeremiah, who of course was another greatly revered Jewish prophet. But why Jeremiah? Why Jeremiah? Well, this is quite interesting because it was common folklore amongst the Jews that before their ancestors were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, that this prophet Jeremiah had gone into the Ark of the Covenant and he had stolen the golden altar of incense, which he had then taken and hidden in a remote cave on Mount Nebo, which is just east of Jericho. So just before the Messiah was to come, so the story goes, Jeremiah would return and produce this golden altar of incense to the glory of God. Is it true? Probably not. But the important thing is that the people believed it to be true. So the people believed that Jesus was indeed someone special, someone important. But just like the people of today, they were stopping short of calling him Lord and God. Carl Jung was a renowned Swiss psychiatrist. And he said that all of his patients who were in the second half of life, and by that he meant anyone 35 and older, and I guess most of us could put our hands up there. He said all of his patients who were in the second half of life had fallen ill because they had lost that which a living religion had previously given to them. And only those who were able to regain their religious outlook were ever healed. So what is Carl Jung saying here? He acknowledges the fact that human life gets lost in meaningless meandering, that is endless searching for life in all of the wrong places until it discovers the reason for being. Everybody's looking for life. Everybody's searching for happiness. Everybody wants that magical, mystical something, but most people don't know what it is they're looking for. What the psychologist calls a religious outlook, Jesus calls new birth. Jesus calls it new birth. And as Jesus says in John 3:3, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must, if you desire to know life in all of its fullness, real life, you've got to discover and believe just who Jesus is. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. And he will ask you it again and again and again. Who do you say that I am? And this is the biggest question in the whole world. And when we are able to answer this question, as Peter did, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. When you believe this with all of your heart, and when you declare it with your mouth, you discover life. Life in all of its great abundance. Life in all eternity. And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns this morning, we start with hymn 360. And we sing from the very depths of our hearts and our souls, Jesus is Lord of all. We stand and sing to his glory.
My own wonder.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.